You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my guest is my good friend and Ideal Business Academy member, Michelle Densmore. Michelle is the owner of Lucky 13 Fitness, and we're going to dig in and see if we can come up with some ways to dial in her business and continue to improve what is already a pretty awesome business. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Pat. I'm really, really excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Wow, my pleasure. So tell me, well, how about this? Rather than tell me, tell the listeners a little bit about you and Lucky 13. So we've got, you know, kind of a foundation to work from.
Awesome. So I started Lucky 13 back in 2010. It came to me sort of as an idea while I was working at a big box gym. Well, I should preface by saying before being in the fitness industry, I was in the mental health industry and am still a licensed social worker and therapist. And when I was doing work in both fields, I realized that, man, I was using a lot of my clinical skills and adapting them when I was approaching a new member or a new client, trying to get in their head to get them to achieve their goals. And this is all at a big box gym where, you know, lots is going on. And I just realized that there wasn't really the right space or the right vibe been there to approach people to train their brain and to train their body. So I sat on that idea for a while. Lucky 13 started out as an outdoor boot camp and some in-home training. And then 2 years later in 2012, I found the brick and mortar space that we're in right now. And the tagline that I sort of developed for Lucky 13 is a unique transformative experience. And we combine coaching, training, and nutrition guidance to really kind of wrap up in a nice, neat bow all the different variables of what people need to make their unique transformation for both their bodies and for their lives.
Very cool. Very cool. So as we kind of get into this, I'll, I may have some follow-up questions, you know, that help me have more context to answer the questions or to address the things we want to work on. But I know we talked about before we started recording that you had a few things that you wanted to get some help with today. So let's kind of work down the list and start with number one.
Sure. So the first thing would be coming up with a more structured referral system. I know referrals generate generally the best quality leads. And I would say based on the people that we have in our studio, I would like to have more people like them. So I've done things like a referral campaign here or, you know, in there, or bring a buddy week. And those haven't been tremendously successful, asking people to bring in a buddy on a specific week in hopes to get a referral. And I was hoping to develop something that's more structured and maybe more in place all the time, or an evergreen program, so that it's not just an off buddy week here and there that somebody might not be able to attend and then maybe not take advantage of. Some simple systems to put in place to generate referrals from our current member base.
So the first thing that I would tell you is that most of the people in our industry kind of view referrals, I guess, in a misguided way. They think of referrals almost like they're asking their clients to become commissioned sales reps for them. They're not really thinking referrals in the way that I would tell you that we need to think of referrals and how we'll work through this now. Really, all we're asking our clients to do, if we're doing referrals in the right way, is to give us a warm introduction to the other people in their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's our job to take it from there. We're not asking them to sell our program. We're not asking them to feel like they're asking too much of those other people. So I think referrals need to be kind of generated or facilitated with that mindset. We got to make it really easy for somebody to make that introduction. So the way that I would recommend that you approach referrals is to have kind of a multifaceted approach to generating them that probably involves 4 or 5 different referral strategies. Some of them potentially can be kind of ongoing, done every day of the year, and some of them are kind of time sensitive. So it probably needs to involve a calendar as well. So what I would recommend you having in place from an event standpoint is picking 2 or 3 types of things that people can refer their friends to that have deadlines, like a charity workout, a referral, you know, a referral week, or if you were going to run a challenge, some sort of incentive for people to refer to that. So those would be kind of the deadline driven things. And the reason we want to mix some deadline driven stuff in is simply so people don't put it off. The ones who are willing to, it gives them kind of a nudge. So we probably should be able to do something every 4 to 8 weeks. You could probably mix something in. And now that may seem like a lot if we think about 4 weeks, but look at it this way. Like, let's say that you twice a year ask your current clients to refer people to a transformation challenge, and they each got kind of a golden ticket, Willy Wonka style here, right? Mm-hmm. And the golden ticket they could gift one golden ticket to a friend for $100 off a transformation challenge. So now they're giving something of some significant value, because, like, let's say the challenge is $149 or $199. Well, they're giving this person essentially a gift card that has real tangible value. I mean, if their friends are seeing Facebook ads, they're seeing what this actually costs. So there's an incentive for friends who are actually ready to join. It gives them an easy way to invite people in. And you can even take it a step further, and it can be a golden ticket to participate in the challenge for free if you make the scarcity strong enough, where it's like each client only gets one golden ticket a year to give away, something like that. So now that has real value. So that would be one. The second would be mixing in probably every 8 to 12 weeks a bring a friend week, where they can bring a friend to as many workouts as they want during the course of the week. So if a friend wants to come in and train 3 times during the course of the week, great. They can bring in multiple friends, but it's something that you build up, you have on the marketing calendar, so you're building up some excitement about it for the 2 or 3 weeks leading up to that. And then you make it kind of an event where for every person that brings in a friend, for every friend that's brought in, they're entered to win a drawing. And so if I bring in 2 different friends or bring in a friend twice, I get 2 entries into this drawing. And the drawing could be, you know, a package of your favorite supplements. It could be a massage. It could be a handful of little prizes. I don't think you have to put a ton of money into the drawing, but it has to be enough that they're interested.
Okay.
And then the third thing that we want to put on the calendar that I think is at least something that you can do quarterly is having a charity event where you have clientele that can really invite people in for a good cause. And now I tend to like to approach these charity events a little bit different than some people do, because it's some investment on our part. So the way that you would approach this in a perfect world, I think, would be to say, you know, on a Saturday morning, you're going to pick a cause that is really important to one of your clients, because you want to be in a position where this isn't just, hey, support what's important to me. It's support what's important to one of the people that are part of this group, one of your peers. So now, you know, you're not turning around saying, hey, you know what, pay me plus come in and do this other thing for me. It's no, I want to give back and I want to support you guys. So pick out something that one of your clients is really passionate about. Plus now you've got somebody who's kind of an ambassador that can go around and help generate some buzz. It's not just you. And what you'll say is, okay, for every guest you guys bring to this charity workout, I'm going to donate $5 or $10. And it's a great deal, right? Because, I mean, you'd pay $10 to get somebody to walk in your gym. So if they want to make a donation, you make it clear, like, hey, we're happy to accept donations, but you're donating your time and you're donating some goodwill by bringing other people in. So I want to give back. So now you've done this wonderful thing, because imagine the goodwill this is creating. You're supporting your clientele, you're supporting a good cause. And this first impression for this new client is one that's just different than they're going to get at any other gym, where even if they do something charity-wise, it's, well, hey, come in and donate, or come in and pay to work out, and we're going to donate this to charity. No, I mean, this is just a different environment altogether. So now you've got this new person in the gym, and then you just follow up with them. I mean, you can make them a special offer on the spot, or you add them to your follow-up sequence, and you just try to move them in when they're ready. But now they've got a really good first impression of what you have to do. So those three things, I think, go on the marketing calendar. And beyond that, you know, because the one, the bring a friend option, we've kind of morphed into a contest. So if you want to stretch it out to 2 weeks or something like that, you can. And you could pull it off. If you did it for 2 weeks, you can pull it off twice a year. If you're going much longer than that, you can probably only pull off a contest once a year. Mm-hmm. So we've got those things that I think are deadline driven. Now, for evergreen type of offers, there are another probably three things that we can do. The first would be having a point of sale referral that kind of mixes with one of the other options here, where you, for every new client, you just make an offer, like you give them kind of a golden ticket where they can invite in a friend for a month for free, or they can give a friend $100 gift card. But every new client gets this. So that's something that's going on 365 years. Because you're doing this now and you would be instilling this in your business now, you can go back and kind of grandfather your existing clients in and give each of them one golden ticket or gift card or whatever to give away. What you don't want to do is just water down the gift cards and give people a stack of them. You want them to have this high perceived value so that they do give it away. They do think they're giving their friends something meaningful and something valuable, not just, you know, something that they can get as many of as they want. So those two kind of blend together. And then the other is the one that I think you can be doing constantly. And it's just recognizing your existing clients and getting them to spread the word either actively or passively in social media. So actively would be, if you've got a good lead magnet, asking them to share it. If you write a book, asking them to share it. Sometimes you can incentivize them and say, hey, for every person that downloads this thing, we're going to donate $1 to charity. Or you can recognize them publicly, just telling, say, hey, Pat, you did a great job in class today. Really proud of you. Excited for your progress. And you tag them. So now this is going to show up on their wall. So now you're getting in front of their friends. Mm-hmm. And so those are kind of two very easy ways that you can keep stuff in front of the, you know, your client's network. And it may not necessarily be such that that tagging them is always going to drive in somebody. But what it's going to do, it's going to be just making a deposit in that relationship's bank account. Mm-hmm. So that A, the client is more eager to refer when the opportunity presents itself, and then B, the friend is more aware of the success they're having. They've seen stuff about this. There's some awareness and maybe even some excitement so that when the opportunity presents itself, they're kind of eager to jump.
Gotcha.
So that's the stuff that would be going on pretty much an ongoing basis. And then you mix in the event-driven stuff or deadline-driven stuff, and you've got a pretty strong approach to referrals. And then you just have to track it. If you track it, you get a pretty good idea of how you're doing. You know, and that's one of the things that I think people struggle with referrals is they don't track it, so they don't really know if they're doing well at all. They don't know who has referred. They have that kind of selective amnesia. They remember or maybe even recency bias, where they remember what happened in the last couple of weeks, but they don't remember that, you know, this other client referred four people in 2017.
Right. Yeah, that's an important piece, that keeping a spreadsheet on who has referred and when.
Yeah. Point. So that's where I think we can start from a referral standpoint. So what's the next thing you wanted to touch on?
That was great. I was taking notes like crazy. So I'll be definitely adding those things to my marketing calendar and then tweaking the things I already do to kind of match what you were saying. So thanks for that. Secondly, kind of an interesting question. I mentioned before that I come from the mental health side of things, and the unique niche that we have here at Lucky 13 is that all of our members do individual coaching calls with me every month. And that's where we sort of focus on training the brain and, you know, talk about their nutrition, talk about their, you know, mindset, things like that. It's an accountability call, but it also really is about behavior and habit changing and sort of doing little actionable steps there. So it's a huge part of what comes with our membership, and our price point reflects that. So we are not the cheapest studio in town. And I guess my question for you is, how best can I convey the unique nature of that model where every client gets coaching in addition to their training, so that people are understanding appropriately that when they say that our lowest offering is about $240 a month, and that's for once a week semi-private training, that it includes a whole lot more than just coming into the building and getting the workout once a week.
Well, so I think there are a couple of things that you can do with this, but probably the most important is that you need to be kind of choosing a side here, if you will, and you need to be kind of saying, like, this is the best way to do fitness, and you need to make a lot of, you know, I know you do some great videos on Facebook, but you need to be really talking about a lot of this being the missing link and why people don't get results. And you need to be willing to kind of draw a line in the sand and say, look, you know, I mean, most of the people who join a gym don't go. Most of the people who embark on a fitness program or a diet don't succeed. And, you know, we have struggled as an industry. The obesity rate goes up. The things that in theory we're trying to accomplish aren't necessarily being accomplished. And you can say, well, that's why. Okay. And I think you have to be willing to do that, even if it's kind of offensive to people who don't necessarily take the same approach as you, because I think you have to help people understand why you do what you do and why it's valuable. So I think that it's a cumulative effect of all the marketing that you put out. If somebody's on your website, they need to be fully aware of why your approach is what you perceive to be the best approach. If they're watching a Facebook Live, they need to be really kind of hit with this repeatedly, so they're pre-sold. So the people that actually make it to talk to you already understand why you're different. instead of you having to convince them on the phone.
Right.
I think that's key. I think that if you allow somebody to reach you thinking it's apples versus apples, it's a much harder sell. They need to be reaching you because the other approach hasn't worked for them.
Right. I gotcha. Okay. So the message of across all channels needs to be very uniform and very, very much the same.
Yeah. And if you believe kind of deep down in your soul, and I know you well enough to know you do, that this is very important and this is kind of critical in a lot of people's success, the people who may not have been able to succeed in kind of a self-directed program or work program that is simply just hosting workouts, then you need to put that out there so that they know this is for them. And kind of knowing when you said, okay, I want to know how to build my local list, I think that you would be way better off. I know that was question number three. And I think that kind of segues pretty well to that. I think you'd be better off if your lead magnet spoke very specifically to this. And if that means you're not getting as many leads, who cares? It means you're getting the right leads.
Right.
Because you're not in the lead generation business. You're in the client success business. So if that means you're getting half as many leads, that's fine. So maybe you need to write a small book talking about the missing link for fitness success, or the missing piece of the puzzle for fitness success, or the program for those people who've tried all these other things and failed. I mean, you could easily write a book about why the gym didn't work for you.
Yeah.
And I think you put this together and it doesn't have to be long. I mean, we're talking probably 10 or 12,000 words, which, you know, I mean, you could probably do 8 to 10 videos that you get transcribed and edited, and you've got that. And you've got a small little book about the size of my book, The Path, that people can download. And for the people who've tried other gyms, this is a fit, right?
Right. Yeah. It does lead me right into the third question on building my list, because my current, the lead magnet is a dining guide for the local area. But that really, like you said, has no parallel to what my question number two was, which is how do we get people to understand that we're different?
So because you're in Boston, you know, this kind of takes me back to kind of a parallel story here. I remember reading a story years ago about how Sam Adams Beer kind of got their start. You know, I mean, I read the biography and everything else, but I read this little synopsis of really them positioning themselves as, hey, we're not a beginner's beer. And, you know, if you think back to the beers that college students had drank or whatever else, it certainly wasn't at that stage before a craft beer explosion. It wasn't that, right? So they're saying, they were basically saying, look, if that's kind of what your interest is, we're not for you. And they kind of wanted to attract people who, I guess, would be, for lack of a better term, beer snobs at that time. And I think there's something to be said for going after the person who is not the beginning exerciser. They're the person who has tried gyms and it didn't fit. Like they just, there was a missing piece of the puzzle for them. And so you, I think by doing that, yeah, you're turning away the masses the way that Sam Adams may have, but it worked out pretty well for them, right? So, you know, I think that if you turn away the masses and say, look, we're for people who have felt like, you know what, joining the big box health club, joining the traditional boot camp, there's something missing. They don't get the type of accountability, the type of support to navigate the other 23 hours. They don't get that and they feel like they need that if they're going to succeed. you put that out there and you know what? Maybe you turn away 7 out of 10, but the 3 that you get are raving fans.
Yeah, that totally, totally makes sense. And definitely answers my question about where I need to go and what direction for my list building. And I think something you said about, you know, the missing link for fitness success or something to that, you know, tone would be a, you know, whatever I end up making, whether it's a book or an ebook or whatever, would be a lot more specific and attract the people that I'm looking for rather than attract the general masses. And I have to shoo away the people that don't fit later down the line. And that takes me an hour long success session, an hour of my time.
Yeah. And what's great is you can have this kind of relationship with these prospects in that they can see a video, they can see a post that you promote or whatever else. And the next logical step for them is just to download the book, right? They don't have to make some massive commitment. They can kind of test the waters and they can say, okay, no, I'm interested in learning more. And then for those people who are interested in learning more, they're kind of pre-sold. And you can follow up with them knowing that you're not having to completely educate them from scratch about why you're different. They already kind of know, and that's why they're talking to you in the first place.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's gold. That's really, really good. I'm going to place my focus there. I think that's a huge point that I totally missed.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of a business like yours, where there is a differentiator that you're kind of putting front and center for the people who are inside your four walls. We just need to put it front and center for the people who are outside.
Right, right. And that's a definite cool way to do it, with saying to people the missing link, because most people that are members here have been members elsewhere at a big box gym. And like you said, it just did not work for them. So I think focusing in and zoning in on that group is a great idea. So thank you.
Well, my pleasure. And I'm excited to see where it goes. And, you know, obviously, if you want a little bit of help kind of shaping some of this into a book, we can talk about that offline. But I'm excited. And I think this will be a great asset for the business.
Well, thanks so much, Pat. This really, really helped. Like I said, I just jotted down pages of notes and now, you know, putting it into action. And that's the book thing is something that I think we'll have to have a further conversation about. But this is a great place to start. And I have some things that I can do with the rest of my time this week. So that's fantastic. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you, Michelle. And thank you guys, everybody listening in to another episode of the Ideal Business Show. So this is Pat and Michelle signing off.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.